Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church.
Do you have the right expectations for God, yourself, and others? You're listening to William Hunt's sermon on proper expectations. In this message, you'll learn how improper expectations about God, ourselves, and others can lead to problems, unhappiness, and bitterness.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about expectations. I've titled the message, What Did You Expect? How many of you have ever had someone say this to you? Or maybe you've said it to someone. It's usually a way of confronting someone who may have had expected the wrong thing in a situation or with someone. Webster defines an expectation as a strong belief that something will happen. A strong belief that something will happen. This simply means that our expectations can bring happiness when they are met, but they can also leave us discouraged when they fall short, when they're not met. I'll give you an example. Just a few weeks ago, my family and I went on a vacation. And, before you go on a vacation, you've got expectations, right? There's different things. And each of us had our own expectation of what that vacation would look like. I expected the weather to be good. We'd done a lot of planning. I wanted the weather to be good. And I wanted some good food. Amber wanted good weather and to spend time with the girls. That was her desire through that week. Colton wanted to catch a shark and to find a conch shell. For those of you that don't know what that is, look it up. It's pretty cool. Olivia wanted a snow globe. You know, everybody's got expectations, right? And Madeline just took every day as it came. There was no expectation. She just done what she wanted to do. In this example, each person had a belief that something would happen. Our expectations had the ability to bring happiness if they were met and disappointment if they fell short. Tonight, we'll skim the surface of expectations. You're not going to learn everything that you need to know concerning the topic, but we'll touch on necessary tools. The tools that we need to have proper expectations, what happens or what the results are of having poor expectations, and how we live beyond unfulfilled expectations. Because we'll find out as we move through this that unfulfilled expectations are not the end of the world. Throughout the Bible, we see many examples of expectations. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, there it mentions the expectation of redemption. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27, it talks about the expectation of judgment. These verses remind us that both the saved and the unsaved have an expectation to look forward to. If you're saved, you have the expectation of redemption. And in Hebrews 10, 27, if you're not saved, you have an expectation of judgment. We also see other expectations in the Bible. The children of Israel expected their journey from Egypt to the promised land to be shorter and easier than it was. Abraham expected a son quicker than he got one. The apostles expected Jesus to set up his earthly kingdom while he was here on earth. And this just kind of scratches the surface of expectations in your Bible. Our text verse, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 5, comes from the story of the lame man in Acts chapter 3. In verse 5, the Bible says that he gave Peter and John his attention. And it gives us the reason why in verse 6. But it says that he was expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting to receive something from him. His whole life had been spent begging for alms. So when Peter and John passed by, he focused on what he would receive. His expectation was silver and gold. But if you read the story of his expectations would go unfulfilled. The Bible says that they were unfulfilled in the realm of silver and gold. But he would receive something way more than he had ever expected. And the Bible says that he received his ability to walk that day. As we move through the outline tonight, you will see that your life is full of expectations. Proper expectations will result in joy and contentment, while poor expectations rob you of happiness, lead you to resentment, and even bitterness. But if you manage your expectations properly by aligning them with reality and with the truth of God's word, you can learn to accept the unexpected. So let's look into your outline. I've got some opening thoughts tonight. The first thing we want to look at tonight is this: having expectations is common. Having expectations is common. This is not a sinful thing. I want you to understand that tonight, okay? Having expectations is common. If you're breathing, you have expectations. You have them for virtually everything, especially the people you encounter and the people you interact with. Those expectations will vary. They vary based on the type of relationship you possess with that individual. You have expectations not only for people, but you have expectations for the situations you're involved in. Your expectations in situations are usually based on prior similar experiences and/or your comfort through that circumstance, which will without a doubt influence the next situation almost effortlessly. Pay attention to what I'm saying tonight, because there's a lot of real good truth in this, okay? You have expectations for people and situations. You have expectations for yourself. Some of you have high expectations, and some of you don't expect much at all. But you have expectations. And we also have expectations for God. Your expectations for God are usually based in what you feel He should have done rather than the truth of what He said He would do. And we'll talk about this a little later, okay? Just like Webster's definition stated, you possess strong beliefs about how each of those areas should be. And I want you to understand that there's nothing wrong with having expectations when those expectations are based within reality. So having expectations is common, which brings me to the second point. Expectations are often based on experiences and assumptions. Expectations are often based on experiences and assumptions. This isn't true about every expectation, but it is common. It's a common practice. In our text, the lame man had received charitable donations from many people who had passed by. When he saw Peter and John, his unspoken expectation of them was based on his assumptions and the previous experiences that he'd had with others. When expectations are based on assumptions and experiences, they lead to misunderstandings and misjudgments. They create unfair and sometimes unattainable goals for the parties involved, and then they create roadblocks in the relationship. As I thought about this point, I thought about three things that fuel our expectations, three things that cause us to base our expectations on assumptions and experiences. And you may already know these. You may have already thought about these yourself. But the first one is this: childhood upbringing. Childhood upbringing. If your mom and dad, this is an example. Each one of these, I'm going to give you an example, okay? If your mom and dad talked a certain way to each other when you were growing up, they had a certain way that they talked to each other. If they did things a certain way around the house, you might expect and assume that your spouse and you should do the same. It's a learned behavior. What you observed in your parents' marriage gave you expectations regarding your relationship with your spouse. How you were raised also plays a huge role in what you expect from your children. So childhood upbringing. The second thing is this: personal priorities. Personal priorities. All of us have different priorities. Many of those are based within the season of life that you're in. Whatever season of life you're in sometimes dictates the priority, right? If you're older, it dictates things. If you have kids, that dictates things. It's naive to assume that people have the same priorities as you do, because newsflash, they don't. right? They don't have the same priorities that you do. But we tend to think that they do. Expectations based on your personal priorities will result in disappointment when the person in question doesn't care as much about that certain thing as you do. Personal standards and priorities need to remain just that, personal, right? They don't need to be put on other people. That's your personal priority. Having high standards of others, which are based on your own personal standards, will at some point lead to an unmet expectation, which will lead to disappointment. So you have childhood upbringing, you have personal priorities, and then you have life experiences. Life experiences. Both bad and good life experiences teach us. They teach you. You don't realize that they're teaching you, but they teach you. When you have a good experience, you want to tell somebody, right? When you have a bad experience, you want to tell somebody. But it's even deeper than that. It's ingrained in you. It's teaching you. But they don't always teach us accurately. You see, sometimes we misapply the experience. And we place the unfair expectations on people, on situations, and even God. The previous experience tends to dictate the next experience or the next expectation. For instance, if I've been done wrong at a previous place of employment, it would be easy to assume based on my experiences that every time something doesn't go as expected at the new job, bad things are going to happen. But that's an improper expectation. That's unfair. It's based on an assumption, and it's based on past experiences. Not everything that was done that one time will be like this time. And not everything done this time will be like next time. Real important. I will say it one more time. Not everything that was done that one time will be like this time. And not everything done this time will be like next time. Expectations based on assumptions and experiences can be a detriment to your relationships. When we expect something from someone or something, we should evaluate the origin of that expectation so that we can be sure that what is expected is not based on assumptions and our experiences. Which leads me to the next thought. The wrong expectations rob you of happiness and can make you bitter. The wrong expectations can rob you of happiness and make you bitter. Wrong expectations are those that are unfair. They're unattainable. They're unrealistic. They could be associated with your career. They could be associated with your appearance, your relationships, your abilities, and then there's a whole list of other things. There's so much more you could put in here. They cause stress, they cause irritation, they cause criticism, they cause fixation, and they cause disappointment. When you mix disappointment with frustration or disgust or anger, it leads you down the road of resentment. And resentment, when it's left unaddressed, is the fuel that feeds bitterness. And you've heard it said before, I've heard Rocky say it before, I've said it before, you've probably said it before, that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. That's another wrong expectation, right? But the vicious cycle can be stopped at the beginning. Much of our disappointment is the result of having the wrong expectation. Had we expected something different at the beginning, viewed the situation through a different lens, the outcome would have without a doubt been different. And later we'll see some tools needed to avoid the pitfalls of wrong expectations. I want you to write this down in your outline. The wrong expectations can ruin my relationships. The wrong expectations can ruin my relationships. And that's across the board. It doesn't matter whether it's marital. It doesn't matter if it's parental, a place of employment, just acquaintances and friends. It's across the board. The wrong expectations can ruin my relationships. Some have said that wrong expectations are planned resentments. Like you're setting yourself up for failure. I'm going to give you one of the most ignored and what I believe in today's society is one of the most harmful things fueling expectations, and that's social media. One of the most ignored and harmful influences influencing your everyday expectations is social media. You see, social media gives us a filtered, embellished version of reality. The consequence of constantly viewing the ideal situation is wrong expectations. It leads to the erosion of self-esteem. It leads to the erosion of your self-worth. And it takes away from the value. It causes you not to be content. It creates unnecessary anxiety and robs you of real happiness or joy. You eventually devalue yourself, your present circumstance, and even your relationships, even when what you have is good, because you're seeking the ideal circumstance. You're seeking the ideal situation. So the wrong expectations will rob you of happiness and can make you bitter. But on the other hand, the third point here is that proper expectations help eliminate unnecessary disappointment. Proper expectations help eliminate unnecessary disappointment. Some would say that lowering your expectations is the only way that you have, the only way that you can have proper expectations, that you have to lower your expectations to have proper expectations. And that will give you the ability to avoid disappointment. They live with a mentality that if you would expect less, you would get more. Just expect less, and then you'll be pleasantly surprised, right? But it's a flawed way of thinking. We're always going to have disappointment. I mean, we're going to always have it. We can't escape it completely because we are a very broken and imperfect people. And we live in a very broken world full of very imperfect people. Whether you want to admit it or not, we're selfish, right? Whether we want to admit it or not, we're dramatic sometimes. Go ahead, husband, say amen. I'm just kidding. That'll get me in trouble. Whether we want to admit it or not, we don't always perform like we should, right? We have bad days. We lose sight of priorities, all of which can lead to disappointment. It leads to disappointment in yourself, and it leads to disappointment in others. So we're not going to get rid of disappointment by just expecting less. But we can eliminate unnecessary disappointment by setting proper expectations. So the question would be at this point is, what is a proper expectation? How do you gauge a proper expectation? Now, there's probably some things you could put in here, but these are the three that I've thought about here, and I'm the one talking, so that's what we're going to do, okay? All right. The first is this: proper expectations are well-informed. Proper expectations are well-informed. And let me explain that. Knowing the people involved and the true reality of the situation you're in helps you expect what should be expected. Does that make sense? Knowing the people that are involved and the situation that you're in, if you can dissect it, if you've got some acute awareness to the situation, then it helps you to expect what should be expected. It also helps you navigate the unexpected, right? And in this, the key is communication. Communication is the key to being well informed. Now, we don't always communicate well, do we? I mean, if we're honest, husbands and wives, we don't. You're thinking one thing, she's thinking another, she's thinking one thing, you're thinking another, and how did we get to here? You know? But that is the key. Proper expectations are well informed. The key is communication. Secondly, proper expectations are checked and balanced within reality. Proper expectations are checked and balanced within reality. Checking and balancing your expectations within reality causes your expectations to be fair and attainable. To be fair and attainable. You have to check it and balance it within reality. Who's involved? What are we doing? Are they capable of doing this? Am I capable of doing this? That's checking and balancing your expectations within reality. This takes honesty, right? It takes humility. To be frank, it takes emotional maturity. It takes spiritual maturity, which isn't always how we approach expectations. We get emotional about what we expected because we act like that our happiness, all of our happiness is in this expectation. If I don't get that, then I'm not going to be happy. So proper expectations are checked and balanced within reality. Thirdly, proper expectations are flexible and adaptable. Proper expectations are flexible and adaptable. They don't assume that everything will be perfect. That's not realistic, right? They understand that people make mistakes and that most of life, get this tonight, most of life is outside of our control. Most of life. And when you can be flexible and when you can be adaptable, this makes sense, right? Because then the guy that cuts me off, I'm just like, well, the Bible says wickedness will abound. Right? I had that happen to me the other day while I was working on this, and I said to myself, well, what did you expect? Right? What did you expect? Proper expectations help eliminate unnecessary disappointment. When you have proper expectations, you minimize misunderstandings, you build trust and mutual respect. And flexibility and adaptability make it easier to work together and to overcome difficulty. And I want to say this tonight. I've had to learn this the hard way. I've learned it the hard way. Which brings me to the second part of your outline. We're going to talk about areas of expectation, okay? Areas of expectation. Number one tonight, we have expectations for God. We have expectations for God. Whether you're a Christian or not, you most likely have expectations for God. You have expectations for how He should act, and you have expectations for the things He should do. And I've got two thoughts about this tonight in your outline. Number one, it is realistic to expect God to keep His promises. It is realistic to expect God to keep His promises. You can expect that. You can have that expectation. I told my brother recently that I expect God to keep His promises. Like, if I didn't expect that, why am I even doing this, right? Like, why am I even living the Christian life if I don't expect God to keep His promises? When I pray, I even say, God, You promised that You would do this. So I need You to either physically do it so I can see it, or I need You to give me a better spiritual vision so that I can see how You're doing it. Because sometimes the way God does things, right? The Bible will tell us that later. We'll see that it's not always the way we expect it to be done. And so I literally have seen God do both in my life. He might physically do it, and then there are times He just changes my heart so that I can see that He's doing it, that He's doing something else. When the Christian lives by faith and trusts God, it produces expectations for God. And having realistic expectations for God should be a common practice for you when you're living by faith and trusting Him. There is so much freedom and peace that comes when you know that you can take God at His word. I want you to write down Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Listen to what it says. Now may the God of hope, the word hope there in the Greek is expectation, may the God of expectation fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope, expectation, same word, by the power of the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul has made it clear in the verse that the Christian should have high expectations of God. We don't always know how God will move in the circumstance that I'm in, but we know that he keeps his word. We know that he does what he says he'll do. Write down Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. The Bible says there that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Here it is. Has he said, will he not do it? Has he spoken, will he not make it good? The verse reminds us that if there is anyone that you can expect to do what should be done or to do what they said they would do, it is God. Proverbs 62:5 says that my soul waits in silence for God, for my hope, that's expectation again, is from him. You see, it's a picture of someone who is waiting exclusively on God to move in his life. The idea of silence is that is the idea of standing still and to quiet the soul. It's obvious that David was used to seeing God keep his word. That's why he could say, I can stay right here, I can be calm, I can be collected and cool, because I already know that God is going to do what he said he would do. So waiting on him is no big thing. It's not this egregious task that God has asked me to do. I've seen him do it before. Many, if not most, of our expectations for God are based on what we've seen God do in our life. David would say again in Psalms 37:25, I've been young and I've been old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. You see, David's expectation for God was based on the evidence he had personally seen in his life. He trusted and confidently expected that God would keep his promises. And why? Because God had always kept his promises. And we're no different. We can fully expect to see God's promises at work in our lives. My challenge to you is to raise your expectation of God. Raise your expectation of God. And raise it to a place that it matches his word, right? It matches what he says he'll do. It doesn't mean to live unrealistically, but rather it's a challenge to live in confidence that you have a heavenly Father, that if you trust him, or you can trust him because he keeps his word. Secondly, it's unrealistic to expect God to keep me free from pain. It's unrealistic to expect God to keep me from pain. Now, it's realistic for me to know that he'll keep his promises, that he'll work all things out for good. He promised that. But it's unrealistic to expect God to keep me free from pain. You see, just because God keeps his promises doesn't mean we're free from pain in this life. This is the mindset we have when we misunderstand or we misinterpret the goodness of God. Let me say this. I want the best for my kids. But that doesn't mean that it's going to keep them from hurt. It's going to keep them from turmoil or pain in their life. I want what's best for them. But they're going to have to experience some things. And it's going to hurt. They're going to suffer. And the same thing is with God. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. Many of the unrealistic expectations that people have for God are the result of not knowing him like we should. We are familiar with his thoughts and his ways. We're unfamiliar with his thoughts and his ways. We haven't got to know him good enough. Therefore, we are unaware of the fact that he never acts outside of his character. He will never do anything to compromise his righteousness and his holiness. So in our ignorance and with our flawed logic, we misread the evidence and we jump to conclusions and we assume things that are unrealistic. And when we get our, and then we get our hopes up. And then when God doesn't do for us what we selfishly thought God should have done, what happens? We get upset. We get mad at God. We get disappointed. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the problem isn't God. The problem isn't God. The problem has never been God. The problem is the fact that we have had unrealistic expectations of what God would do. If we knew him better, we would be more spiritually and emotionally mature, which would result in us not expecting this unrealistic thing for God to do. It's unrealistic to expect God to keep us free from pain. The second area of expectation is this. We have expectation for others. We have expectation for others. And I've got a couple things under this tonight. First, we tend to have unfair expectations of others. We tend to have unfair expectations of others. Many of the expectations we have of others are not based on who they are or what they can do. The expectation involves snap judgments based on our experiences, our assumptions, our opinions, our disappointments, our wants, our happiness, and the list goes on and on and on and on. We tend to have expectations of others that are not grounded within reality. Those expectations cause us to be disappointed or unhappy with people. But it wasn't the person's fault. It was the unfair expectation that created the disappointment. And when that expectation went unmet, you blamed the person. Let me give you some examples. I've got three. They're not in your outline, just examples. Let's say a man, before he gets married, finds out that his soon-to-be mother-in-law can cook. Or maybe he finds out she can't cook. So he draws a conclusion, he makes an assumption, and he has an expectation of his soon-to-be wife, right? She's either been taught to cook or she ain't gonna be able to cook at all. And based on that information, what happens? Causes a problem, right? But the expectation was unfair. Just because the mother could cook, or his mom could cook, or she couldn't cook, didn't mean that his wife would be able to. Maybe you're married. Maybe you expect your spouse to meet every need. The truth is, they will meet some of your needs, right? But they will never meet all of your needs. And let me say this, let me get real to the point tonight. Your spouse is not responsible for your happiness. They're not. It's an unfair expectation. Let's say this. Let's say you're a parent tonight, and you were good in a specific sport. All right? You were all-state. You might unfairly push your child to excel in that sport. You want them to be all-state. And when in reality, they don't even have the capacity to do it. It happens all the time. All the time. All you're trying to do is live vicariously through them, right? That's unfair. That's an unfair expectation. I had an epiphany. Somebody says you might want to get that looked at. On Monday, I was using my smoker and smoking some meat, and I was watching my kids while I was doing this in the evening, and I was paying attention to what they were doing. And you know, they like doing their own little things, and Colton had got home from school. He'd done his dual enrollment. It was time for him to go to school or go to work. And in his free time, he decided that he was going to fly his drone. I guess that makes him happy, right? That was something he wanted to do. And in my head, I'm thinking, man, it's hunting season. Why are you not shooting your bow? Why are you not getting ready for bow hunting? If you don't practice, you ain't going to be able to kill a deer. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And as a parent, I desire for my kids, this is the epiphany, I desire for my kids to enjoy the things that I enjoy. I desire that. If you're a parent, you probably do the same thing. I've tried for years to get my kids to want to hunt and fish. And for the most part, they do that. I those are things that I love, and they do them periodically. But for me to expect them, here's the epiphany, to want to do those things is really unfair to them. And it's really selfish on my part if I try to make them do something that doesn't really bring them happiness. It brings me happiness, right? Let's just be honest. I should embrace the things they enjoy and be happy for them, not expect them to do something that makes me happy. You see, unfair expectations are burdensome to everyone involved, and they rob you of joy. Or they rob you of the joy that you could find in having relationships with others. Unfair expectations of others will cause you a lot of disappointment. And I'll say this tonight, resentment will be your close friend. Which brings us to the second thought under this. We must learn to have realistic and reasonable expectations of others. We must learn to have realistic and reasonable expectations of others. It's harder than it sounds, and it takes denying ourselves selfish expectations to even begin to have realistic and reasonable expectations of other people. Earlier, I mentioned that proper expectations look like this. I gave you three things. And they obviously parallel this point. Realistic and reasonable expectations are those that are communicated. They are those that are fair and attainable. They are flexible and adaptable. They understand that not everything is perfect. They understand that people make mistakes. They understand that things change and that people change. Having reasonable and realistic expectations of others is about recognizing that people have different strengths, that people were created differently, that people have different abilities. It's about understanding that people have limitations, that they have unique circumstances. And let's be honest, this mentality doesn't come naturally. It's a practiced mentality. We don't naturally have that thought process when we're dealing with people, when there's something that I expected from them. If we go back to the lame man, what he wanted was money. He wanted a financial gift. Now, what he got was so much more than what he could have ever expected, but his expectation went unfulfilled. Which brings me to this last area of expectation. We not only have expectations of God and others, but we have expectations for ourselves. We have expectations for ourselves. Some people expect too much for themselves, and others should expect more. If you're like me, you expect a lot from yourself. But if those expectations are not realistic, they can damage you emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And what it does, let me say this, what it does is it makes you your own worst enemy. I have two quick thoughts. Number one, what we expect from ourselves must be in conjunction with what God expects from us. What we expect from ourselves must be in conjunction with what God expects from us. There is nothing wrong with striving to be more than we are. That's what sanctification is about. That's what Paul talks about in Philippians 3:14 when he says, I press towards the mark being Jesus. I've not arrived. I'm trying to be better than I am. So there's nothing wrong with striving to be more. But remember, you can only give what you can give. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 6 in our text verse, Peter and John say just that to the lame man. We don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, he says, I give to you. You see, God expects from you, God only expects from you what you can give. We see this over and over in Scripture. I put in your outline Jeremiah 29:11, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And that's to help stress the importance of looking to God when you're expecting something from yourself. I want you to write down Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. There it says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. And here it is, which is your spiritual service of worship. In the King James, it says reasonable service. In some translations, it says true service. You see, God's made me a certain way. We have a true purpose, and we are capable of reasonable things. Not unreasonable, but reasonable things. And his expectations for me are reasonable because he knows how he made me. God knows how he made you. And here's what else he knows. He knows that I'm capable of doing, he knows what I'm capable of doing with Christ living in me. He knows what you're capable of. Remember the parable of the talents? The master's expectation was based on what he'd given them. In verse 15, it says that he gave to them according to their own ability. And so God expects me to do what I can do and with what I've got. God will never expect more of me than he should. So the expectations that I have for myself need to fall within the parameters of what God expects of me. Which brings me to the second thought. We can't always live up to the expectations of others. We can't always live up to the expectations of others. And tonight, if you'll digest this, it will free you from the pressure that comes from trying to live up to the expectation of others. I'm not in this world to please you. And you're not in this world to please me. Bruce Lee said it this way. I'm not in this world to live up to your expectations, and you're not in this world to live up to mine. But I'll say this tonight. Many people allow others to have too much power over their life. There are people who allow their parents and their friends to control them. We were not put on this earth to live up to others' expectations. We were put here to bring honor and glory to God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, for am I seeking the favor of men? Am I looking, the word there is a badge, am I looking for a seal of approval from men, or am I looking for a seal of approval from God? Am I striving to please men? Because if I'm trying to please men, then I can't be the bondservant of Christ. You see, if I'm trying to live up to other people's expectations and I'm trying to please them, I'm basically subservient to their demands. That's why Paul said that if I'm trying to please men, I will not be able to be subservient to Christ. We can't be controlled by two masters. Write down Colossians 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3, 23, and you can add 24 to that. The Bible there basically tells us that we were created for God. It tells us that we're to do our work, what? Heartily unto the Lord. We were created for Him. Even when you are at your best, you're going to let people down. We're always going to make mistakes that disappoint. So don't allow the expectations of others to control your life. And that brings us to the last section, all right? And I'll move through these real quick. Navigating our expectations. We've seen that navigating expectations will be tricky, that it'll be hard. Expectations are challenging because many of our expectations, listen to this, many of our expectations are discovered in real time. They're also fractured in real time. And you think about that for a little bit, you'll understand. Not knowing beforehand how to navigate these types of situations leads to failure when you're in them. And so I'm going to give you four things tonight, all right? The first is this. This is something we can do, and it was earlier, I mentioned it earlier, is communication. Communication helps eliminate assumptions. Communication helps eliminate assumptions. I've given you some verses there that give you the importance of what we say and how we say it and who we say it to. When it comes to expectations, communication helps eliminate assumptions because what is expected has been communicated. We don't eliminate all of the assumptions because all people are different. But communication will provide a fair playing field in your relationships. It helps mitigate disappointment that comes from unspoken expectations. So we have to learn to communicate. It's hard when we try. It's impossible when we don't. You've probably said to your spouse, you won't even listen to me. It's hard when we try. It's impossible when we don't. Communication allows the parties involved to work towards an expected goal. It allows the parties involved to work towards an expected goal. Remember, proper expectations are what? They are well informed, all right? Number two, love. Number two, love. Love transforms our approach to expectations. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, there it gives you the characteristics of love, that love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, it doesn't brag, it's not arrogant, it doesn't act unbecoming. Here's the important one. It doesn't seek its own. And when love is used to manage and navigate expectations, our selfish expectancy in an undesirable situation is replaced with patience and more understanding. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, at the end of that middle of that verse, it says that love covers a multitude of what? Of sins. I want you to know, it doesn't say covers up. It says it covers. It brings grace. It brings mercy. It lays a salve on it, so to speak. It makes it easier to bear, right? Love has selfless qualities rather than selfish wants. Remember that proper expectations are flexible and they're adaptable. Love gives us the ability to flex and adapt when life takes unexpected turns. Love doesn't expect people to treat us perfectly, but rather gives people leniency. It allows us to cultivate empathy and compassion, which in return enables us to respond appropriately. Love allows you to create boundaries and standards. Listen to this. Rather than expectations. Love allows you to create boundaries and standards rather than expectations, which will strengthen relationships rather than ruin them. Love simply transforms your approach to expectations. Number three, humility. Humility. Humility gives us the freedom to be wrong. Humility gives us the freedom to be wrong. Realistically, no one gets to be right 100% of the time. I was wrong once, but I was wrong, right? No, nobody's realistically right 100% of the time. That's reality. And remember, proper expectations are checked and balanced within reality. Humans are prone to make mistakes. So humility gives us the freedom to be wrong. Humility gives you the ability to realize that even at your best, you have limitations, which lessens the blow of disappointment that comes from unmet expectations. Humility doesn't allow your ego to get in the way of what is right. Humility allows you to approach situations from a different perspective. I want you to write this down. Humility is concerned about what's right rather than who's right. Humility is concerned about what's right rather than who's right. Number four, contentment. Contentment. Contentment allows us to accept rather than expect. Contentment allows us to accept rather than expect. Rather than hyper-focusing on what I expect, I find the good in what I already have. Does that make sense? Contentment creates inner stability, which allows me to be more flexible when my expectations are unmet. Listen to this real close, all right? I got another tongue twister. My must-haves become nice-to-haves, but they don't devalue what I already have. Does that make sense? That's what contentment does. My must-haves, the things that I have to be happy, they become, well, that'd be nice to have. And then they never devalue what I already have. That's contentment, okay? Remember, proper expectations are checked and balanced by reality. Contentment anchors me in the present. Contentment keeps unmet expectations from dictating my happiness because I already have peace of mind. It doesn't devalue what I already have. That's what Philippians 4:6 says when it tells you not to be anxious for nothing, and that the peace of God will give you peace that passes all understanding. Because I have value in what I already possess. As we close, we've only scratched the surface of expectations. I mean, we could spend weeks on talking about expectations. You really, really could. But my goal tonight is that you would just consider your expectations. Consider the expectations that you carry around for others, the expectations that you have for God, and the expectations that you have for yourself. The wrong expectations give you a very narrow vision of life. They cause us to pin our hopes and dreams on things that are subjective, which will lead you down the road of perpetual disappointment. But if we'll trust God, practice communication, love, humility, and contentment, which are all biblical, by the way, we will be able to navigate unfulfilled expectations properly. And we'll be able to accept the unexpected.
Wrong expectations rob you of happiness and can make you bitter, but proper expectations help eliminate unnecessary disappointment. Now you know what to expect from God, yourself, and others. If you're new to the area, or maybe you're looking for a new church, we would love to have you as our special guest this Sunday. We have community groups and childcare that starts at 9 a.m. and our worship service starts at 10:15 a.m. Go to CorrytonChurch.com to plan your visit. That's CorryTonChurch.com and plan your visit today.